This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
I got several stories that I want to hit here, but top story really seems to be this Mark Sanchez story. Former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez is facing a felony battery charge over an altercation between the former NFL quarterback and a 69-year-old truck driver early Saturday in Indianapolis. Now, Michael, when I first saw the story, it was like, oh, wow, Mark Sanchez has been stabbed. Prayers for him. I hope he's okay. And then like an hour or two later, you're starting to see the story unravel a bit more. And then you heard that, okay, he was doing something. And then allegedly this 69-year-old truck driver was acting in self-defense. Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears announced the upgraded charge Monday morning, saying Sanchez faces a level 5 felony charge of battery involving serious bodily injury. Punishment on this kind of deal can range from 1 to 6 years in prison, according to Mears. Mears added that prosecutors are still investigating the incident and that Sanchez, 38, could face additional charges. He was charged with battery with injury, public intoxication, and unlawful entry of a vehicle. Those are all misdemeanors. Sanchez waived, according to ESPN, waived an initial court hearing that had been set for Tuesday for the misdemeanor charges. He is next due in court on November 4th for a hearing. According to an affidavit for probable cause based on hotel video footage of the altercation early Saturday and statement to police, Sanchez allegedly accosted the driver of a box truck that backed into a hotel's loading dock. According to this affidavit, the confrontation escalated to the point where the truck driver believed he was in danger, sprayed Sanchez in the face with pepper spray, and with Sanchez still advancing toward him, said he thought this guy is trying to kill me. The truck driver then pulled his knife and, with Sanchez still coming at him, said he struck Sanchez 2 or 3 times, according to the affidavit. The truck driver said he was thrown against a dumpster and onto the ground and believed he was in a life or death situation. The driver, according to the affidavit, said that there was this look of shock that just suddenly came over Sanchez's face, and then he took off. Sanchez was arrested by Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department at the hospital on Saturday. Whew. Wow. This is a crazy story.
I heard about it a little later. So when I got to it, I had seen that he had been charged but it looked like misdemeanor, like maybe the two had been arguing and I didn't hear anything about the truck driver other than, you know, there was a stabbing and he was claiming self-defense.
Yeah. So Sanchez
is big.
Well, yeah, he's currently a Fox analyst.
Not anymore.
I mean, he was in Indianapolis because he's part of that broadcast crew for the network for their coverage of the Raiders and Colts game. So, and I didn't see that game, but Chris Myers, the play-by-play announcer, did acknowledge Sanchez's absence Sunday before introducing Sanchez's replacement, who was Brady Quinn. Myers said he wanted to send thoughts and prayers to Sanchez and everyone involved in the incident. Wow. Yeah, this is a big hub. He couldn't have just been drunk. He had to be on that booga sugar or something. I don't know.
Maybe he thought the guy was his offensive lineman and just ran right into his butt.
69-year-old truck driver backing into... Now, here's my brain just goes to, okay, he's backing into a loading dock with Sanchez just kind of roaming around, and maybe the truck driver's backing up, didn't see him or something, and then Sanchez is like, what the hell, man? Watch what you're doing.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what I kind of pictured in my brain. Like, hey, what the hell? And then Sanchez has obviously had a few, so he's maybe a little aggressive, and then the truck driver gets out like, hey, dude, this, like, this says there's a blind spot here, so don't do that, you know, and then they go back and forth, and then the next thing you know,
it
gets physical.
Unlawful entry, so I imagine he entered into the vehicle, and this is just my speculation, and the truck driver's like, crap, I have to get out of this.
What a wild story. Like, Mark Sanchez, yeah, he gets, he's famous kind of for the butt fumble. He was a pretty good quarterback for the Jets. And then he kind of was a traveling man, a journeyman type of quarterback.
But, he was with the Broncos.
Yep. Yeah, this is a weird story. Here's another one. Colorado High School says assistant coach ejected from game following fight with a player. This is from CBSNews.com. High school in Denver Metro area says an assistant coach was ejected from a football game Friday night after an incident involving a student. Officials with Valor Christian High School said an altercation occurred involving one of their players, an assistant coach for Mountain Vista High School. So to be clear, sounds like this is an assistant coach with Mountain Vista High School. This is the head coach, Brian Ritz, came out and said coaches are entrusted with modeling integrity, discipline, and respect, values that are fundamental to high school athletics and to the safety of every student on the field. From the video I have seen, the assistant coach's behavior is unacceptable. No coach or adult should even put their hands on a student. Our community expects and deserves better from those entrusted with mentoring young people. The school said it's aware that the fight is under investigation by the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and CHASA. Ritz said he's grateful for the swift action of game officials and that they're standing with the player and his family. I don't have, there's no video right now, so that's all we have to go on. So I'm curious, we get listeners from all over the state, if anybody was around that game or knows people involved in that game. Isn't our boy, Mike Sanford, isn't that his team now, coaching a Valor Christian? Not the other one, Valor Christian. Should have brought him on. He might not be talking about it, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, I wonder if the reason why there's no video is because maybe the student is a minor.
Yeah, maybe. This is definitely a crazy, crazy story.
Did it say whether it was post-game?
This is just what I'm assuming.
It
doesn't say that it was. It's just they have video of an altercation occurred involving one of their players ejected from a football game. So ejected from a football game means that the game was still going on.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. How does that
happen? I think Valor still lost.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but this is another one of those just wild stories, man. Crazy. NFL news, a lot of Baltimore Ravens fans expected Zach Orr to be fired over the night, but Ravens head coach John Harbaugh said he's sticking with his defensive coordinator after losing 44-10 to the Houston Texans. He said, I don't think that's the answer. We have to go to work. It's what we need to do. We need to stick together. Is what we need to do. We need to find ourselves. And that has to do with coaches and players working together. I mean, this, you just don't think of Baltimore having a bad defense, Michael. I mean, when's the last time they had a bad defense? I couldn't tell you when they had a bad defense.
Not just okay, not just not great, but horrible.
Yeah, really bad.
It feels like since the inception of their
I've never known
franchise.
Them to be bad.
I mean, even when their best players retired, they've been great at defense.
Mm-hmm. They're giving up 177 points this season. That's the most in a 5-game span in team history for them.
I mean, that's not saying much because their defense has always been really good.
Yeah, it's wild, but you know, Harbaugh's staying the course. I don't even know if Lamar Jackson, when he comes back, if that's going to be able to save this team. Dude, they're 1-4. Baltimore's 1-4 after dropping that game to the Houston Texans. All right. Hey, Broncos beat the Eagles. We're feeling good. We're feeling good about that Vance Joseph defense, aren't we? I mean, this team is... Again, there were questions after the Chargers thing, questions after the Colts, but I was never to the point where, well, the Broncos aren't going to be a playoff team. I still believe they're a playoff team. I don't know, man. I mean, being logical here, who's better in the AFC today than the Broncos? Is it the Colts? Because they beat them? Chargers have taken a dip. And this isn't always the, well, the Chargers beat the Broncos, so shouldn't they be better than the Broncos? We know things change week to week to week to week in the NFL.
Broncos should have beaten the Chargers and the Colts.
Should have beaten the Colts. Yeah.
They let that game slip.
Both of those games, they were leading the whole way through. Just bad mistakes.
And you could say that, of course, about the Eagles with the Broncos. The Eagles should have beaten the Broncos.
Yeah, but what did we say on Friday, Mike? We said this could go one of two ways. The Eagles are finally going to start doing the things that we expect them to do, and then maybe they blow out the Broncos. Or... the Eagles are going to kind of keep playing the way they've been playing in the first four games, and somebody's going to find them out. Somebody's going to catch them. Now, it took the fourth quarter for the Broncos offense to wake up, but when it woke up, what'd you think of Sean Payton going for two?
I loved it.
I did too. Even if they didn't get it.
More and more aggressive, it seems.
I like it. I like it. I like thinking outside the box a little bit, and that's certainly what he did. He said, we went there to win a game. That's what we're doing.
And you know, they could have always come back. They could have always come back and scored right there. But what you wanted to do was just say, hey, guess what, defending champions, you're not defending champions in our mind.
So when they scored, there was 7 minutes and 36 seconds left when they got that touchdown. So I'm guessing the thinking was, we're going to score, we're going to go for two and get it. If we get it, then we just got to make a stop, and then we can run this thing out. We can take off, because you held Philly to a three and out the very next possession. And Denver ends up marching down the field. They get the ball back with 5 minutes left. They march down the field. And they kicked it. Will Lutz kicked a 36-yard field goal with 1 minute and 11 seconds left. And I think, did Philly have any more timeouts after that? I don't think they did. So Denver was able to take it all the way down to 111. And then you put the pressure on Philly. I mean, they looked kind of shell-shocked that Sean Payton went for two. And that was a great play call. And that was all the questions we had. Can Bo Nix complete some of these long passes? Can Bo Nix orchestrate a drive, a fourth quarter game winning type of drive against a superior team at the time? You know, can their defense make those stops when they matter the most? Because against the Colts and the Chargers, Mike, the defense did kind of falter a bit, which allowed for those getting in those positions to kick game winning field goals. But this was a dominant performance. And yes, you had the Hail Mary heave. That was scary. But you had like every Broncos defender there that was ready to knock this ball down.
Yeah, and it turns out they didn't need those defenders there. You just needed the two offensive players to fight over the ball.
That was somebody had tweeted that out too. Like, was that offensive pass interference on his own guy? Yeah, it was. That was just a nerve-wracking moment there. But the decision to go for two ended up making it so Philly had to play for the touchdown. So if Sean Payton doesn't get it and Denver ends up losing the game, let's just say they lose 17-16, are we still good with the decision? I was. When they lined up to go for it, I loved it. And I told my brain, I'm like, even if he doesn't get it, this is a gutsy call, and it was the right call. And they were so confident in executing that play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going back on that. If they miss it and they lose, not going back on that. No. I thought that was the right call.
Man, that was a good play call.
There are times when you're like, you question the coach, why are you going for two now? Like early in the game, if you go for two early in the game, the Broncos have done that before a couple coaches ago. Like, we're playing the Chiefs, go for it early in the game, miss it. Suddenly the Chiefs have all the momentum. Like, if you miss a two-point conversion, a lot of times that gives the other team momentum.
Yep.
But you Denver, got this two-point conversion, you kept the momentum
but
going.
Yeah, you felt like you had all the momentum. You know, and I remember Mike Shanahan did that years ago. Who was it against? It was when Eddie
Chargers.
Royal. Was it the Chargers? Eddie Royal was on that team, and they went for two. They wanted to go win that game.
Yeah, especially since that was the game where it was the fumble. Jay Cutler fumbled the ball, yeah. But they called it an incomplete mm-hmm. pass because of, you know, a strange
the tuck
whistle.
Rule or, yeah. Yeah.
I actually, that was one of the first two-point conversions that I ever agreed with, where I'm like, screw it. Forget tying the game. This Chargers offense is burning our defense. Go for it. Win it now.
Yeah, I liked this decision. And that's the kind of decision, and then the execution of that decision, that can catapult you to a different kind of confidence. Because what's that saying? I'm confident in my offense that they can get this two-point conversion. I'm confident that my defense is going to get the necessary stop, too, whether we get it or don't. Confident that our special teams, that has been questionable at times, is going to execute in crunch time. And they did, especially with the field goal. The field goal was huge because that put this game in Philly's got a minute 11 to score a touchdown. You know, big difference if they're playing for a field goal, trying to tie this up. So, trying to tie it, if that's the way it would have went down. So, I was 100% good with this.
Do you think drafting a punter in the sixth round has been working out so far? Because I love that guy.
Yeah, I'd say that's been a pretty good situation.
Was that four or five times pin them inside the 20?
Mm-hmm. Five times inside the 20.
I mean, I haven't been this confident in a punter since, I think, Tom Ruin. Now, it's only like five games in, so maybe I'm overreacting, and I know I'm overreacting, but I love this guy.
He's certainly getting a lot of practice. Yeah, he punted seven times.
Too much practice.
I mean, there were 14 punts in this game. I mean, Philly didn't do what we thought they were going to do. Then they're up 17-3. You look at a Philly team and you go, that's a team that knows how to win, so they're not going to mess around. They're going to close this thing out. They could not get that extra score to really put this thing out of question, and it was Denver's defense that time after time came up with big stops to keep them in this game.
You got to give it to Vance Joseph. A lot of those blitzes where he's like, okay, I'm blitzing everybody up the middle. Nope, I'm not. Instead, I'm going to send the safety up the left side.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him. I was so glad we got him as a defensive coordinator.
He has answered a lot of those questions. You know, I said Vance Joseph was kind of on a weird seat to start the season because we don't know if he's going to be here next year. Either he's not going to work out and you underachieve with what we believe to be a not once in a lifetime defense yet, but maybe close. We'll see kind of how the rest of the year progresses. He's either going to be so good that maybe he gets a job offer after this, but and again, what I talked about, their month of December was pretty bad and their playoff game was pretty bad, so there's still a lot of tests in front of Vance Joseph and such. But so far at 3-2, Denver's defense has had interesting moments, but overall they've been pretty good. I don't know if they're as good as we thought yet, although holding Philly to 17 points was huge.
I think we're seeing the Broncos play talented teams that at the beginning of the season. We're not seeing them play the NFL's equivalent to cupcakes. The NFL doesn't have a cupcake.
No, not really.
Even the worst
Just
team
ask the
in the
Bills
NFL,
about that.
The worst team in the NFL is still a good team. Like an 0-16.
The Jets are 0-4.
Yeah, they can still beat you.
I mean, that spread is probably not overwhelming at this stage. What is it at this point? Broncos are 7.5-point favorites. You just don't see that big lines in the NFL. So this is certain. But it does look favorable now. for Denver these next few games. I mean, you have a chance to, depending on what happens in the rest of the AFC West, to assert yourself at least in that top two spot. Because you have the Jets and the Giants coming up. And the Cowboys, too soon to say
what kind of team they're going to be.
They could score a lot of points.
They give up a lot.
And Javonte Williams is a stud now. He's just absolutely a stud. 12:25 the time. The voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. The Buffs lose to TCU. They got up 14-0 again. Very similar to how the BYU game went. But that was kind of it. But they leave that game with bigger issues. As you've probably, if you watch that game, you see Coach Prime actually sitting down on the sidelines. He's having a tough go of it. Health concerns rearing their ugly head at Coach Prime yet again. So we'll talk to Mark Johnson about that a bit coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-one minutes after the hour. Coming up next, we got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, set to join us. Let's talk about the Buffs' loss over the weekend to TCU. TCU ended up covering in that game. It was 13. They were 13.5-point favorites, and I'll get into the details of that. But bigger issues for the Buffs now, outside of losses, as Coach Prime believes blood clots are back. So we'll talk to. We'll talk to the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, coming up in just a bit. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Thirty-six minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. The Colorado Buffaloes end up losing to TCU 35-21. Got off to a hot start again in this one, but similar results as what we saw in the BYU game. Joining us now, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Mark, after that game, and I guess kind of throughout that game, you started to kind of see Coach Prime. There's a lot going on with him, and then he talked about his health problems again at the end of this game. We wondered if maybe something like this might occur, but what can you tell us there and how serious these blood clots are, this situation is for Coach Prime?
Well, I don't know anything specific. I can't give anything. I mean, it's not like Prime and I have had conversations, although we have at different times talked about what he was dealing with post-cancer. We haven't talked a lot about the circulation things that he's doing. I do know this from a doctor friend of mine who one day told me, he said, I know nothing about Deion's specific situation, okay? He said, I want to make that very clear. I'm just talking in general terms. You know, we all as human beings, whether you're white, black, Asian, you know, Middle East, whatever it is, we all have unique genetic things that we deal with, right? And a doctor friend of mine who's a longtime cardiologist said that within the African-American community, males apparently specifically, that there are these circulation things that can pop up, and they seem to be more prone to that. You know, like in my family, for example, my family's old. I've always said if I'm going to die, it's probably going to be a heart attack. It seems like everyone dies of heart attacks. We all have genetic markers that we deal with. And so this doctor friend of mine just said that you know, if you're in your mid-50s, which Prime is, where he and I are both the same age, that if you're already dealing with things like amputation, that's not a good indicator of what you're dealing with within your genetic markers within the group that you belong to. And so So he just, about a year ago, the friend of mine said, man, if he's dealing with that already, that's normally a bad sign that more things will happen, okay? And again, and I just repeat for clarity, he knew nothing about Deion's situation, just said this is something uniquely that African-American males seem to deal with when they're in their 50s and 60s. And so anyway, I kind of took that to heart when this longtime doctor from cardiologist friend of mine told me that and was kind of praying for Coach Prime that it wouldn't have to be something that he deals with down the road, that maybe he would kind of veer out of it, but apparently he's dealing with something more. And, you know, I will say this. There's been a number of times where when he's come in to do the TV show and radio show with us that he's walked in and I'll say, how you doing today? And he'll go, nah, man, my feet are really, really hurt today, really struggling with this today. And so, you know, he's indicated that kind of thing. And that's the depths of the conversation we've had with that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a tough deal. And, you know, he and I joked about this one day. When I turned 50, because like I said, he and I are about, I think we're about 7 or 8 days apart in terms of our age. And so we've kind of talked about that and lamented. And with my accent I had a year ago, he and I have kind of compared notes. And, you know, well, as you get older, like you can typically do with your buddies, you start comparing maladies. And I told him, I said, you know, Prime, I said, when I turned 50, my little girl said to me, hey, Daddy, what's it like being 50? And I said, sweetheart, the warranty's worn off. Whatever happens to me run out, do not be surprised by it. And anybody in that age group that's listening understands what I'm talking about. And so, yeah, he's whatever he's dealing with, it's affecting him, and we're praying for him and hope that for the best on everything.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. And that's where, you know, you look at the loss, obviously, 35-21, you're not happy about it, but then you hear yep. that. We were talking about this before the season started, like how would Coach Prime's health hold up? Is he
sure.
potentially going to consider coaching from the booth, which would be strange, but you saw him. He's taking his shoe off. It looked like at one point he's kind of kneeling, sitting down almost. We all knew what was going on. It wasn't anybody that's been following this story knew, oh, he's probably dealing with some pain. And then sure enough, he confirmed that at the end of the game.
Yep, without question. And, you know, it's interesting because we kind of carry his post-game press conference, and we generally carry about the first 4 or 5 comments, right? I mean, normally in the post-game press conference, they come in, he gives you a general overview. There are 3, 4, 5 specific questions of the game, and then we kind of, you know, pull out of the press conference and move on with what we've got to do in order to get on the bus in time. And so I had not heard it. It was beyond what we carried. And so we finish up with the radio. Gary and I and Bobby went down and shot the TV stuff. And then we get on the bus, and I glance at my phone while I'm sitting there, you know, eating my chicken strips or whatever I'm doing. And I look down and go, whoa, well, apparently Prime was talking about this. Because I got word during the game that he didn't have a shoe on out there. And I said something to Bobby on a sideline. Bobby Passavento. Bobby said, well, he's wearing 2 shoes right now. I thought, oh, okay. But then I kept getting messages. And so I'm like, okay, something must be going on. But so we didn't hear the actual press conference because we were back doing our own thing by then. And so, yeah, it's something we're going to be watching. And obviously he was, I think he said in that pressure, he was going to see a doctor today and have whatever tests were going to need to be done. And so that's something we'll all be following.
Man, and he's had some pretty serious health issues, Mark. I mean, obviously the two toes amputated on his left foot back in 2021, and then the removal of his bladder and the cancer that came with it, and now this. I'm just wondering out loud, Mark. I mean, when you start dealing with this health stuff all the time, you do. I think it's natural for fans to wonder how much longer Coach Prime is going to want to deal with this.
Well, it's a legitimate question. Now we don't know, and we'll see what happens with him. But it is a legitimate question with all of us. You know, at some point, you get affected by something. And listen, I've always said, you know, Father Time is undefeated, right? As far as we know, depending on what your faith is, only one person ever hasn't died, right? The rest of us have all expired at some point in time, and it's one death for every birth. And that's the way this works. And so when you start to deal with these kind of things, obviously it becomes very enormous in your life. Now Prime has been blessed to a point where, listen, I don't think he's got many financial concerns in his mm-hmm. life. And so if he did have to step away from coaching, and I hope he does not, but if he did have to do that, he's going to be just fine from, you know, all of those things that you got to deal with. You know, I would not be in the same thing if all of a sudden my doctor said, you know, really, you can't work. I don't have that luxury from a financial standpoint. You know, he does have that luxury, if you will. And so I hope it does not come to that. I hope he continues coaching for a long time. I enjoy it. I enjoy what he brings to the program. I enjoy dealing with him. Obviously, he's impacting a young man on this roster. But we'll wait and see what the doctors say and what ultimately he has to do.
We're talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, on the football side, which seems certainly secondary when we're having these kind of discussions. But the Buffs, I mean, they show me they can compete. They're not getting absolutely blown out in these games, even though 35-21 looks worse than it was. You get the last second score there for TCU. Yep. But what do you make of this team? I mean, is it easy enough to point at the quarterback situation, or is this just a team that, hey, they can start off pretty good, but for whatever reason, they just kind of run out of gas?
Well, Caden Sulter's been very inconsistent. I mean, you don't throw three interceptions in a ball game. And I'll tell you what, I'll just be honest about it. I'm looking forward to talking with the coordinators this week. When you've got the ball, first down and goal to go from the 2-yard line with about 8 seconds left, I don't understand the play call in any way, shape, or form. It made zero sense to me. Because what happened? You've already got a quarterback. Okay, let me rephrase that. In a vacuum, could that have been an okay play call? Yes. Now, but let's look at the circumstances. You had a quarterback that already threw two interceptions in the first half. You have started at 14-0. You've allowed them, because of turnovers and other issues, to score two quick touchdowns of their own to make it 14-14. And then you get a gift by going down the field right before halftime. You've got the ball. You get a pass interference in the end zone. You got a first down and goal to go from the 2-yard line. Okay, there's 8 seconds on the clock. Okay, here are the things you can do in these circumstances. You know that coaches do this all the time. They can go to the referee and say, listen, we're going to run a running play out here. And then you instruct your running back or your quarterback, whoever's going to carry the ball, you're going to hit the hole. If you don't immediately go through into the end zone, you drop to the ground, and you instruct the referee that as soon as that guy hits the ground, I'm calling a timeout. They do that kind of thing all the time, right?
Yeah.
The coach doesn't actually call it. Everyone knows circumstances. Boom, the referee calls a timeout. So a quick-hitting running play like that is going to take 2-3 seconds, okay? Handoff, bing, doesn't make it through, timeout's called, you got 4 or 5 seconds left. You call your final timeout, because the Buffs had one remaining timeout. You run your kicking team out there, you kick a field goal, you're up 17-14 at the half. All right, that's the way that works. So you can also run a pass play, which is what they did. Now, what happens there? You run the pass play, you score a touchdown, you don't, it's an incomplete pass, clock stops, and you kick the field goal, do the same thing. Here's the issue, though. Because of what had been happening. Got to look at context and circumstance. Two interceptions. All right. And it's always been said, when you throw the ball, three things can happen, and two of them are bad. Right? You drop the football, or you get it intercepted. The only good thing is after you can catch it. Okay? And so you take that into consideration. So I was totally confused under that circumstance at the end of that half why you would do that. So what happened? You throw one, try and force one in a tight window by a quarterback that's already been struggling. Pass is deflected. It's intercepted. And you go in 14-14, and momentum is going their direction. And so, you know, listen, is it all Caden Sulter's fault? No. Is he playing well? No. He's terribly inconsistent right now. And that makes then, and for fans out there who are in the, you know, you just got, if only they fired Pat Shurmur, that would fix everything. Listen, Gary has said it so many times. Gary was a play caller his entire career. He looked at me one point during this game. He looked at me and said, Mark, I don't know how you call plays in this. I don't understand how you can possibly call an offense based on what I'm seeing out there in terms of the play. And so it's become very difficult. And they're in a tight spot out there from a quarterback situation, what they do. And so it's not an easy thing to navigate through right now from the staff standpoint.
Well, and I know, you know, Coach, last one for you, Mark, but I know Coach was asked about that identity. And, you know, he kind of did his thing. He's like, well, what is identity? But it does seem like, for a moment, it does kind of look like there's an identity. When Caden Salter's rolling, it kind of looks like this could be exciting, this could be good. And then suddenly it gets really bad fast. And you just wonder, what do they fall back on when times get tough?
Well, this team does run the ball relatively well. But you can't be, you're not going to be Air Force or Army or Navy. You're not going to do that as an offense. That's just not what this team is built on. It's not how it's built. It's not the system it has. You know, and I know people want to, they need to put Staub back out there. Well, listen, this isn't the National Football League. You don't have guys in contracts, okay? So let's say they went to stop. What do you think Caden Salter's future here would be?
Yeah, that's it.
Right? He's got every right to go and just jump in the portal automatically. And you start jerking quarterbacks around, I guarantee you someone's going to get mad and leave. Now, the Julian Lewis thing is interesting. I don't know that you're going to see Julian Lewis the rest of the year. That's just my opinion based on kind of what I'm witnessing, what I'm seeing. His dad's heavily involved. A lot of people around him heavily involved. I don't know that we're going to see him again. He's only 18. And, we saw him. He's 2-4 passing in his college career. He was out there for, what, one series. And he has got a very high ceiling. I think he's an exciting player. I just don't know at his age where he's at if he's ready to really handle it. And I'm starting to wonder, just based upon whispers from kind of his camp, if they don't think the same thing and think, okay, he needs another year to marinate and to mature before he's ready to really be thrown out there. And so it's a real delicate situation that Prime's dealing with.
No question. Big decision for sure. Now you got Iowa State coming up, Mark. Big battle. We'll look forward to your call coming up this weekend, my friend.
You know what, though? It's a 1:30 game on a Saturday, man, instead of starting at 12:30 a.m. taking this one off. So I'm happy about that.
You might actually get to bed on time, Mark, finally.
I love it. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, brother. Good talking.
Appreciate you, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Let's unpack that coming back. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man game. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, we got to do this quickly, Michael. Our Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor trivia question. Legos, Funko Pop, sports memorabilia, sports cards, Pokemon cards.
They have it all.
They have it all. And it's October. Get your shopping done early. Because when they move, man. Diamond Valley Collectibles. All right, we had Brock Wisney on the show earlier. And we talked a lot about his dad, Jerry Wisney. Here's what I want to know. Jerry Wisney played college football. Where? Brock mentioned it. 970-353-1310. Get it right, and you're entered for the $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles. Where did Brock Wisney, where did his dad play college football? Call us right now. 353-1310. Stock report coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.